all of these are considered small molecules, and what peptides do, one, they're natural. This is why it's such a cool new space, because our body's making about 7,000 peptides every single day. I saw some of the brokenness of the healthcare system. It really made me kind of reevaluate my goals and really the type of education that I wanted to get. I think peptides will be as common as multivitamins in terms of use, and I think we will see commercialization, but it's going to be over the next 5 to 10 years.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing the tactics lying herein. So friends, are you ready to join me? Let's do this. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. Friends, I am overwhelmingly obsessed with the information in today's episode. I had been wanting to learn more about peptides and use them personally, and Sarah Morgan is so overwhelmingly intelligent, kind, motivating, and knowledgeable when it comes to actually integrating peptides into your life. And I am loving her InstaMed peptide strips. You can get 15% off site-wide with the code Melanie15 at getinstamed.com. I can't recommend that enough. I'm currently taking the thymosin alpha-1 as well as the GHKCU. After I finish those, I'm going to do BPC-157. And I'm experimenting with PT-141+ to boost my, shall we say, vitality, aka libido, on nights that I go out. We talk about so many things in today's episode, including what peptides actually are and what they can do for your body, how you can take them in the form of oral peptide strips, specifically the benefits of BPC-157, GHKCU, CJC-1295, PT-141+, and thymosin alpha-1. I think you guys are going to be blown away in how these peptides can support sleep, weight loss, muscle, skin, libido, and so much more. We talk about how to use them, how to dose them, if you can stack them, whether or not to take them fasting, and all of the details that you need to know. We also talk about the difference in general between drugs versus supplements and the future of GLP-1s. The show notes for today's episode will be at melanieavalon.com/peptide strips. Those show notes will have a full transcript as well as links to everything that we talked about, so definitely check that out. I can't wait to hear what you guys think. Definitely let me know in my Facebook group, IF Biohackers, Intermittent Fasting Plus Real Foods Plus Life. Comment something you learned or something that resonated with you on the pinned post to enter to win something that I love. And then check out my Instagram, find the Friday announcement post, and again, comment there to enter to win something that I love. Hi friends, did you know that one of our largest sources of toxic exposure each and every day is through our skincare and makeup? It is so frightening the effects these compounds can have on our health. So we put these products on to help us look better, and yet they actually can be aging us, contributing to health issues, fertility issues, thyroid issues, mood issues, and ready for something potentially even more shocking? A lot of these endocrine disruptors are actually obesogens, meaning they cause your body to gain weight and make it harder to lose weight. That's right, your skincare and makeup may be hindering your weight loss goals. Europe has banned thousands of these compounds, and the US has banned around a dozen. There's even a loophole from the 1960s that allows companies to put whatever they want in their products, and they don't even have to tell you. That's why I am overwhelmingly careful about the skincare and makeup that I use. But here's the thing, it can be hard to find skincare and makeup that is non-toxic and actually works. And then on top of that, that actually has all the products you need. I have found two companies, I am obsessed with their standards and use them every single day of my life and cannot recommend them enough. That's Counter, formerly known as Beauty Counter, and Crunchy. Both of these companies have incredible standards when it comes to what they put in their products. You can truly feel good about using them, and they actually work. For Counter products, go to melanieavalon.com/counter. And for Crunchy products, go to crunchy.com That's CRUNCHI.com/Melanie Avalon. New Crunchy customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. You'll also receive something special from me after your first order. I also highly recommend joining both of their loyalty programs. It's completely free to join, and with every purchase, you'll earn credit as well as other fun goodies. For all the latest updates, new products, specials, deals, and fun things for me, because yes, I love giving things away, get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. You can also get text updates when you text skincare to 877-861-8318. That's skincare to 877-861-8318. So again, to shop with me and get a free gift from me after your first order, go to melanieavalon.com/counter and also crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. And new customers use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 at Crunchy to get 10% off site-wide. And again, definitely join their free loyalty programs to earn credit on every order. Hey friends, exciting news. My Avalon X Spirulina is back in stock and now at a reduced price. Plus you get free shipping and my coupon code works on top of that sale price. Spirulina is honestly one of the most nutrient-dense things that you can put in your body in a whole foods, easy to eat form. It's a blue-green algae, which is a complete vegan protein packed with an incredible array of nutrients. We are talking 100% of your daily hard-to-get vitamin K, 625% of vitamin B12, over 1,000% of vitamin A, 86% of chromium, 27% of vitamin B2, plus so much more, including iron, GLA, the powerful antioxidant superoxide dismutase, and even glutathione. In fact, spirulina is so uniquely nutritious that it was actually studied by NASA to support the astronauts. I searched high and low to find the very best spirulina out there. Ours comes from a wonderful, sustainable, clean, environmentally friendly production facility in Hawaii, not Thailand, Hawaii. And then on top of that, we did our own third-party testing for over 70 pesticides, heavy metals, toxins, all the things. This is the cleanest spirulina out there. And with spirulina, you can simplify your supplement routine and support your nutrition in one easy step. The tablets are super versatile. You can swallow them whole, blend them into smoothies, crush them up, or honestly, just eat them like I do. And again, we were out of stock, but now Avalon X Spirulina is finally back in stock at a reduced price, and my coupon code MelanieAvalon works on top of that too. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to avalonx.us/spirulina and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off our new reduced price plus free shipping. That's avalonx.us/spirulina with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. All right, I think that's all the things. As a brief reminder, you can get 15% off site-wide with the code Melanie15 at getinstamed.com. And now enjoy this fabulous conversation with Sarah Morgan. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I am so incredibly excited about the conversation I am about to have. This is a conversation that I know in particular you guys are really excited for me to have, because I have been talking quite a bit about peptides recently. I just recently really honestly started getting into the world of them, which I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit, because in the biohacking sphere, I feel like people have been doing peptides for quite a while. But I just recently started going into the science of it. I had Jay Campbell on both this show as well as the Intermittent Fasting podcast, and that was a really great comprehensive overview on peptides. And then through Jay, he was so kind. When I first met him, he immediately wanted to introduce me to this incredible woman, Sarah Morgan, which Sarah, by the way, like literally the praises he sung of you were just absolutely beautiful. Talking to you on the phone afterwards, I can totally completely see why with everything that you're doing. But for listeners, so Sarah is currently the CEO and co-founder of InstaMed Pharmaceuticals, and they make an innovative delivery technology for a lot of different things, hormones, functional pharma actives, and in particular for this conversation, peptides. And I know this is really exciting for people because I think one of the biggest barriers to people using peptides has been a few different things. It's been the gray market area nature of a lot of the sources of it. Do you know if you're actually getting safe products? Do you know if it's effective? Do you even know what you're getting? And then on top of that, the way of typically taking peptides, there are some oral supplements, but there's debates about how well that is even absorbed. So typically you're injecting yourself, and people, that is a barrier for a lot of people. So the idea of having peptides in the form of a sublingual oral strip, I know, is overwhelmingly exciting. And currently right now, we'll talk about this, but InstaMed makes 5 different, I have them all in front of me right now, peptide strips that we'll talk about. Yeah. And I know you guys have a lot of questions, because when I asked you for questions specifically, not just about peptides, but about peptide strips, I got inundated with questions. So Sarah, I've been looking forward to this for so, so long. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. And huge shout out to Jay Campbell for connecting us. He is an incredible human.
Yes, he really is. It's funny. I don't know if we talked about this, but they say that your first impression of people is not usually wrong. Like normally when we have a first impression of somebody, it's very rare that we actually change our opinions. I did change my opinion with Jay, because when I first saw him, like his platforms, I was like, oh, he looks like a gym bro. Like he looks a little, I don't know, but he is so nice and kind and intelligent. And it's just funny because he was not who I thought he was, just from like brief glimpses of social media.
Yeah, he's very sophisticated. So is Hunter. Both very sophisticated gentlemen.
So shout out to him, and very, very grateful. Okay, but for you, so first of all, before we get into all of the peptide stuff, when we talked on the phone before, you just have a really, really impressive background. You're doing incredible work with the technology that you're working on, especially with peptides, because I know there's been a lot of debate, like, can you even take peptides in an oral sublingual form? And clearly you guys are cracking the code on that. So just your personal story, like what you're doing right now, is this something that you saw yourself doing growing up? Where did this come from for you personally?
Great question. I come from a family of cardiologists. I watched triple bypass surgeries in high school. I was planning on going to medical school, and I actually worked on a neuropeds and trauma floor in a hospital system associated with the Mayo Clinic. And I was like, oh, I don't think I want to do this. And I saw some of the brokenness of the healthcare system. It really made me kind of reevaluate my goals and really the type of education that I wanted to get. So I actually pivoted away from medical school, which at the time was really scary because there wasn't a lot of established alternative paths. I got a master's degree in clinical nutrition through a program that taught amazing biochemistry, because I'm totally a geek at heart. And I've worked in clinical practice for a while. And then I realized, gosh, I love innovation. I love solving problems. So I've started supplement companies, medical food companies, and what I like to call functional pharma. I think it's an interesting thing that we're really seeing a convergence of nutrition, nutraceuticals, supplements with pharma in a really beautiful way. And peptides are actually the category leading the charge. So I got introduced to peptides probably about a decade ago. For the US, that was pretty progressive. If you're over in Europe, not so progressive, because they've been using them for almost 50 years in humans. But I fell in love, Melanie. And I think that's the first thing. If people are listening to this podcast, you've never interacted with peptides, get your own personal story, because they're just phenomenal. And from there, I really realized, gosh, these are so cool. But as you pointed out so eloquently, people don't like to do injections. They're scary. You know, we kind of get this a little bit of a empathetic viewpoint into what it's like to be a type 1 diabetic, right? What they have to do on a daily basis. And a lot of people get injection fatigue. It's messy. It's like, did I get the dosing right? Did I do all the pieces of an injection right? You can have, you know, swelling and redness and all these things that happen after an injection. So I asked myself the question, what would be a way to replace injection with a technology that actually worked, so that we can utilize these tools and introduce them to the masses? And really, that's where, you know, kind of my journey and path evolved to this day. So if you ask, when I was a kid, would I know I'd be standing here now? Not exactly. It's been a fun journey to find my way. But it's been a really cool time to be alive, because the technologies that are being pushed and advanced in science and healthcare, like true healthcare, not sick care, are some of the coolest things that I think we're going to get to see over the next 20 to 30 years.
I love that so much. I feel like you ended up exactly where you're supposed to be with what you're doing. This is so amazing. Yeah, it's interesting. So I mean, because when you hear, you're talking about like the power of peptides as an alternative route to conventional pharmaceuticals, people might not realize, because I know actually I didn't realize this, things like insulin are peptides, and things like the, you know, the GLP-1 medications that people are using, like Ozempic and all that, those are peptides. So like peptides are everywhere, very mainstream. And then also there are all these other ones that people are using for specific reasons and causes. So just for people who are not familiar with the world of peptides, so you guys have, I was right when I said you have five, right? So you have BPC-157, GHKCU, CJC-1295, PT-141, and thymosin alpha 1. And I'm just laughing because I was talking with a friend who does do peptides, and then there was another person in the room at the same time. He was laughing about how whenever she talks about peptides, it just sounds like this, you know, future language, like number letter thing. It's like a code that you have to crack. These five that you have, or actually just stepping back. So the world of peptides in general, you're mentioning how incredible they are, how you've been using them for so long, but they're, you know, especially in the US, relatively becoming more mainstream. How would you describe them to people, like what they actually are? Because it's just so broad.
Peptides are, very simply put, a mini protein. They're a sequence of amino acids that are kind of like little pearls on a string that make up a necklace. And they can be anywhere really from 2 to 50 in length is what we would consider a peptide. Insulin is 52 amino acids in length, so it's a bigger peptide. And so all of these are considered small molecules. And what peptides do, one, they're natural. This is why it's such a cool new space, because our body's making about 7,000 peptides every single day. So when we think about these different peptide sequences that we're utilizing, they're already naturally occurring. So BPC-157, I call them letters and numbers. People are like, what in the world does this mean? And it is almost like, you know, learning code for, you know, doing something on your computer. You know, you're learning that of like what your biochemistry as a computer is and what you're going to plug in of these different peptides. They are impacting different pathways in your body. And peptides are acting as signaling molecules. So they are going to go into your body and elicit different benefits, whether that would be something like immune function, metabolic health, helping with your metabolism, fat burning, mitochondrial function. There's all kinds of different peptides. What's cool about this space is there's going to be a massive explosion of personalization. So we have probably about 20 peptides that are somewhat popular if we think about more the biohacking or progressive space. And I think we're going to see hundreds of them come to market in a variety of different ways. And we can talk all about that regulatory wise, because you're absolutely correct that peptides, some of them have already been classified as drugs. Others, we don't really know how to classify them. And others are actually dietary supplements. And glutathione is an example of a dietary supplement peptide. It's a tripeptide that a lot of people know. It's the body's main antioxidant. It helps with detoxification. And it's a little tiny tripeptide that's very magical.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So many questions from there. One question, because you were saying how some of them are pharmaceuticals, some are, you know, supplements. What determines whether or not something becomes a pharmaceutical? Is it just like a patent on the organization of the peptide? Like what determines that?
Yeah, it's a great question that I think we're seeing even an evolution of these different categories. So if we think about pharmaceuticals, there's prescription pharmaceuticals, and then there's over-the-counter pharmaceuticals. So there's even a couple of different classes regulatory-wise. There's also a regulatory class called medical foods. Medical foods are sort of a crossover between a dietary supplement and a drug, and they're used for the specific nutritional needs of a disease state. And then we have dietary supplements. Dietary supplements were actually established in the 1990s with Deschaux laws. And dietary supplements, basically, they can't cure, treat, prevent any kind of disease state. And this is where the big difference of a drug to a dietary supplement, according to the FDA in the United States, occurs. So a drug would be something that is actually going to be utilized to prevent, treat, cure some kind of disease state.
Hey, friends. Did you know there is an ancient botanical that modern research shows performs on a level comparable to metformin when it comes to supporting healthy blood sugar levels? And not only that, this compound also supports the gut microbiome, healthy cholesterol levels, and even stimulates the AMPK pathway in the body to support cellular cleanup and longevity. You might have heard about AMPK. We talk about it a lot in the context of fasting, which also stimulates it. I am talking about berberine. I take berberine every single day of my life, and I see massive differences on my CGM, my continuous glucose monitor, when I use it. I take it to support my fast and before meals to reduce blood sugar levels. It is a powerhouse of a compound. And like I said, people are prescribed the pharmaceutical metformin to control their blood sugar levels when they could be taking this completely natural compound that has been used for thousands of years in both ancient traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine. I wanted to make the best berberine on the market, so that's why I created AvalonX Berberine 500. We did so much testing to find the most potent, pure, and clean form available. There's no problematic fillers, no common allergens, just pure, vegan, lab-tested berberine extracted from traditional sources. Friends, I am not kidding the difference I see on my blood sugar levels with this berberine. We're talking no post-meal spikes when I eat all that fruit and lower fasting blood sugar levels. It also reduced my HbA1c and my cholesterol levels. You can get it at avalonx.us. And the coupon code IFPODCAST will get you 10% off. You can also get a one-time 20% off coupon code when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. That's AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And you can get a 15% off coupon code by signing up for email updates. For that, just go to avalonx.us/email list. Again, friends, this is one of the most powerful compounds you can add into your health and wellness routine. Healthy blood sugar control, even if you're not pre-diabetic or diabetic, is so important, and berberine helps support that. It is the ultimate compound for blood sugar control, cholesterol, your gut microbiome, and longevity. Get it at avalonx.us with the coupon code IFPODCAST.
What's interesting is I think we're seeing a blurring of those lines with peptides, and it's going to get very interesting. We work with one of the top FDA regulatory attorneys in the country with InstaMed, and it's a very, very interesting evolving space because, again, these are in our body. Our body's making them, right? You can measure some of these peptides like GHKCU. You mentioned that. That's a tripeptide. We can talk more about that, but it's in human plasma. Our body's making it. It's a very interesting conversation that we're going to have about peptides. And I think it's not only use, but it's also going to come down to delivery format. So it's really interesting. NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which is one of the amino acids that makes up glutathione, was actually approved for treatment IV for Tylenol, acetaminophen overdose. So if your kid got too much Tylenol, you took them into the ER, they're going to get an NAC IV, and that's actually going to treat the acetaminophen overdose. That is a drug. But NAC was a really popular supplement. It helps with mucus, breaking up mucus during COVID. And it's a really key player, kind of the rate limiting amino acid is what most people would say for the production of glutathione. Glutathione and NAC in an oral format are considered dietary supplements. So we are in a very frontier cutting edge space that I think is going to require years and years of definition. It's very gray in terms of really not understanding everything. And I also really deeply believe that peptides should have their own class because I don't really think they are drugs at all. Are they nutraceuticals and can be applied that way? Potentially, but they're like souped up supplements is what I would like to summarize them as. But our current products that we have, we do classify them as nutraceuticals as an oral delivery format.
Was the NAC, that approval for the Tylenol overdose treatment, Was that the time period when they were trying to make NAC, like take NAC off the market for like a brief moment?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was the Tylenol approval of a treatment was, I want to say like back in the 80s or 90s. It was a long time ago that it was approved as an IV treatment. And then more recently during the pandemic is when it surfaced. Yeah.
The frustrating thing when things like that happen. And this is why I'm really, really not to make the whole episode about like the classification of pharmaceuticals and medications, but I'm so fascinated by it. And I'm fascinated by how like casual it seems at times. Like, cause I'll think about, I'm like, why is melatonin an over the counter supplement when it's a hormone compared to like these other hormones that you have to get by prescription? Doesn't make sense to me. You know, things we have here in Europe will be classified differently. And then like when the NAC thing happened during COVID, I just felt like all these things were coming out saying NAC was dangerous. And I was like, no, it's because they're trying to like do it for other like pharmaceutical related things, like you know. So I'm just really interested by it. And then I have my own supplement line, so I'm always dealing with like the claims. And so I just love this conversation. And I agree with you about peptides, you know, the need for them being their own category. So huge question that I have personally, the peptide itself, does the body have any, I guess, indication if a peptide is endogenously created versus taken from an exogenous source, or is it blind to that?
I mean, it's sort of the way to think about it. If it's the same sequence the body is making, it's the same in a very similar way that bioidentical hormones are truly identical to our own biology of what the hormones are making. Now, sometimes there's different esters, you know, that are attached to parts like a testosterone, for example, they can alter some of that. But yeah, I mean, it is basically body identical when we're thinking about these peptides.
Okay. So taking the peptide to the body, it communicates as if we had made it ourselves naturally, essentially. Amy has a really good question that kind of covers what we just talked about, but then adds a little bit of nuance. So I think I'll read it. So she said, given the stability and absorption challenges of peptides, what independent data exists comparing oral strip bioavailability to injectables? And are these considered supplements or prescription medication in terms of regulation? In addition, how do manufacturers verify that peptide integrity is maintained during the strip formulation process, and what assurances exist around peptide sourcing and purity? So basically, she was wondering about the regulation, which we kind of talked about, but when it comes to actually, you know, formulating the peptides in this oral strip form, which I guess we can hear about, we should probably hear about, you know, the technology that you're using here. How are you, you know, doing testing? Is there third-party testing, the sourcing, the purity? People just, you know, people are really, I think, nervous about the whole peptide world. So what is happening there?
Yeah, one, thank you for asking the questions. We should ask the questions in terms of quality and manufacturing processes. So in terms of what we do in the manufacturing process, and this happens in dietary supplements, this happens in pharma, medical foods, all of that, we receive raw materials of everything that we use for our strips. And those all have COAs, so certificate of analysis. And we're an NSF certified GMP facility. So we have a lot of requirements in terms of what kind of raw materials that we can receive and accept in terms of the COAs done. We also send things out. If we're working with a new supplier, let's say for, you know, something that's in our strip, we test that ourselves. And we do that every now and then just to kind of keep up with quality. Any good manufacturer will do that. So that's the first part. And then our strip manufacturing process involves a homogenization. And then when we actually make the strips, it's made on this almost like a big fruit roll-up is a way to think about how the strips are made. And then they're actually cut. And so we can produce the strips at any thickness we want and then any size that we want. Some of that has to do with the dose. Some of it has to do with how fast or how slow we want it to dissolve when we stick it on the oral mucosa. Then what we do is cut it into a very specific size. And all of that is tested in terms of dosing. So we send that off after production, a post-production testing to look at all the microbials, all the heavy metals, everything a lot of people would be familiar with for a dietary supplement, as well as label claim, which is you'd want that in a dietary supplement as well, to show the peptide stability and the content of the strip. And we typically use Eurofins for our testing. They're one of the top labs in the country and world to do that kind of testing.
John had a question. He said, how to make sure you are safe and not getting endotoxins that will show an effect in a few years from now. And it sounds like in general with this world of peptides, I'm not trying to answer the question for you, but it sounds like you would need to get peptides from a source like InstaMed where there is all this testing. Would that be important for that?
Yeah, it would. And endotoxins are, there's a couple of like famous podcasters that have made this one an important talking point. I think the piece of endotoxins is an important one to understand. It's incredibly important if you're doing injection. So an injection peptide has to be sterile or it's extremely dangerous for you to use. We're an oral facility. We still, you know, again, have certified GMP NSF, which is the highest level certification in the United States. But it's not, because you're not injecting it right into the body, it's not really the same conversation in terms of delivery. But yeah, all of our peptides are tested for all of that, if that was part of the question he was asking.
Okay, so I was wondering about that. So is there a conversation out there? So the endotoxin specifically, is that something that associates with the peptide production process for injectables?
Yeah, it's more important in injectable, and it would be like a 503B, which is a sterile compounding pharmacy, because it's not just in the peptides, but actually could be in the manufacturing process and bottling process, that there could be some kind of contamination, let's say in a vial, which is, yeah, something that, you know, you definitely don't want to have. But at the same time, the other nuance and caveat here, because I like bringing full information, is every product that exists on the market actually has a limit of endotoxins. So like even bacteriostatic water that everybody buys for their peptides, that they're doing that way, that has a limit of the amount of endotoxins that can exist in it. So it isn't the fact that like there is nothing in anything that exists on planet Earth. It's that it doesn't have a level that would be dangerous to human health. And I know you had mentioned like that could show up a couple years later. It doesn't even show up a couple years later. It's something that can be problematic like with one injection.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. This is so, so helpful. So the part that I think we can still talk about from Amy's question, and I will actually combine it with Teresa's question as well to make it a broader question. But she asked about, given the stability and absorption challenges of peptides, or she was, you know, mentioning that. So my broader question there, because I know when I, so to a few people, I have mentioned the idea of a peptide oral strip, and the immediate reaction is that doesn't work. Like, like peptides need to be injected. People are skeptical about the oral absorption route. So would love your thoughts there on the technology that you've created to, you know, make this really effective. And then on top of that, for example, Teresa says, I feel like there is so much area to get scammed here. What are the peptides that don't work via strip to watch out for? What are the most effective? And then she also wants to know the actual ingredients. Are there plastics or other chemicals? So to like put that all into one easier to answer question, this oral absorption technology that you've created, how does it work for peptides? You know, is it as effective as injectables? Do all peptides work that way? Do some not work? Do some work better? I'd love to hear about that.
Our delivery technology, it's sublingual because we are a dietary supplement. So on our box, we have to say that the best way to use our strip is put it on your tongue and let it stick to the roof of your mouth or stick it on your cheek, which is transoral mucosal delivery. This is a known delivery technology that a lot of different actives are delivered through this way because it's leveraging the magic of your mouth. Your mouth loves sugars and amino acids. So peptides work perfectly for this delivery format. So one thing for people to know is this isn't new in terms of a delivery format. There's a lot of things that can be delivered, including nicotine. sometimes people are like, oh yeah, is a substance that can be delivered this way. So our technology, not every strip is created equal. And that's something that's really important to understand. We have filed 8 patents to date, and we have what's called an insta-release technology. That insta-release technology has 3 different aspects of our delivery mechanisms for this oral mucosal strip. The first one is that we need it to adhere. It needs to stick really well to the mucosal lining because that's creating the surface area for those actives to actually cross that mucosal lining. The second aspect is we give our actives a molecular hug, and we use different ingredients. This is all part of our technology. We're patented. It's not published yet. So once it's published, we can talk way more details. We can't talk about all the different things that we use, but I will tell you this, they're natural. Same as like peptides. We don't use weird chemicals or things that would like irritate your mouth and all. If you Chat GPT stuff too, just please remember, Chat GPT is not going to pull data newer than 5 years old. So this is a space that is rapidly evolving. This delivery type format, I should say, is being worked on for up to insulin, which is a massive peptide, huge Dalton size. So there's all kinds of cool advancements that are happening. So first we stick it and we stick it good. Then we give it a molecular hug. Then we actually cross the mucosal border is the third step. And we use different penetration enhancers that are also part of our patented delivery technology based off of Dalton size and the chemical characteristics of that peptide. Now, in general, the smaller the peptide, the easier it's going to cross the border. The bigger it is, it gets more challenging to an extent. And so we actually make our delivery technology more complex, the larger and the more complex that peptide molecule is. If you chat GPT, which I've had a lot of people reach out and they're like, you can't do over 500 Daltons. And I'm like, that is correct without delivery technology that allows this to happen. So there's a lot of nuance here. And then I love all the questions about like what ones and what, you know, like what percent efficiency. We are working on all that data right now. We have a GLP in a pharmacokinetic study with a partner pharmaceutical company with 20 humans. We are tracking not only blood levels of the peptide, but we're also looking at clinical outcomes. And our goal is to present that data at A4M's Longevity Annual Conference in Las Vegas in December. We also have 2 other studies happening right now with our CJC, which is a secretagogue. We're looking at growth hormone, IGF-1 levels, which that's how that peptide works. So peptides are really interesting because they're small molecules. So to catch them in the blood can be very challenging because detection limits aren't set. They're not commercialized. They're in and out so fast because they're going to these target tissues really quickly, and then they're eliciting a response. So some of our study designs that we are implementing are actually efficacy. And what we're expecting is to get similar biomarkers that move in a way that we would expect from injection. So injection in general is about 89% bioavailable. That number depends on the peptide, depends on you as a person, depends on where you inject it, how much fat you have under your skin. There's a lot of variables. There's going to be also some variation and variability with our oral too. I think it's interesting, like someone who has like a more acidic pH, they're probably going to, in their mouth, they're probably going to dissolve the strip faster. Right? Or someone who has dry mouth, it might dissolve a little bit slower. Is that going to impact efficacy? Those are things that we're going to have to learn over time. We don't know that yet. What I would say is, yes, we want to know all of it too. To some of the questions that were asked, we don't have all of those hard data points yet, but we're working on it.
Hey friends, I'm about to tell you how to get 10% off the ideal coffee when it comes to supporting your health. So if you guys know me, you know I am obsessed with optimizing basically everything I consume, and that especially relates to coffee. Did you know that coffee is one of the most powerful sources of antioxidants in the modern diet? And yet, not all coffee is created equal. Between sourcing, farming practices, roasting, and contaminants, there can be a huge difference in the health impact of the coffee that you drink. That is exactly why I created Glow Coffee. Glow Coffee is a premium, specialty grade Arabica coffee sourced from sustainable women-led farms in Colombia. It's organically grown and we third-party test it meticulously, like every single lot, for purity. And what makes Glow especially exciting from a biohacking perspective is that we specifically made it to be rich in chlorogenic acid, or CGA. That's one of coffee's primary, most potent antioxidant compounds that has been studied for its role in metabolic health, inflammation, oxidative stress, and so much more. The elevation levels of the beans, how they're grown, and how they're roasted all affect CGA levels. So we searched high and low to find the perfect beans naturally high in CGA and tested them to confirm that, and then we roast those beans to preserve the CGA content. And then test after that as well. Coffee is already one of the potentially biggest contributors of antioxidants in the human diet, so I designed Glow Coffee to maximize those benefits while keeping it incredibly clean and high quality. And this coffee is so clean. It's grown organically, of course, but then we go even farther than that. We third-party test the beans for almost 100 toxic compounds, including pesticides, heavy metals, and mold. Oh, and perhaps the best part is it is absolutely delicious. We're talking smooth, low bitterness. It's honestly the exact coffee I personally want to drink every single day of my life. It's so bright, smooth, and delicious that it's also perfect black for fasting. No added sweeteners or cream needed. You can also splash it on your face for an antioxidant-rich toner. I do that every single day. After the sauna, after the shower, all the things. I created Glow Coffee because it's really about upgrading one of our most common daily habits into something that truly supports your health and performance. You can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. That's 10% off Glow Coffee with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. Are you ready to glow inside and out? Fuel your day, illuminate your way. That's glowcoffeeco.com. For peptides, the most effective way to evaluate effectiveness is more to look at, is it changing the intended health goal biomarkers rather than the actual peptide in the bloodstream?
Correct. And there are two labs in the United States that can even measure a couple of peptides in human blood. So we are very, very early in this level. It's not like I want to go to LabCorp and get my testosterone levels done. We're not there with peptides. So I think we will be. I think peptides are the future of health. I think peptides will be as common as multivitamins in terms of use. And I think we will see commercialization, but it's going to be over the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay. This made me think of quite a few questions personally for me. So the first one, speaking of ChatGPT, so prior to first trying your strips, I was doing research with ChatGPT about where is the best location in the mouth to absorb. It was saying the inside of the cheek, and it was saying the roof of the mouth was not ideal. And then I kind of panicked because the first time I tried one, you're talking about how these strips, you know, adhere to your mouth. I literally have a memory in my head of like how quickly it like went to the roof of my mouth and it like attached itself. And I was like, whoa, it was wild. And then I was like, oh no, this is the roof of my mouth, not the inside of my cheek. I'm not getting the absorption. So was chat incorrect with the roof of the mouth, or is it better on the inside of the cheek or the tongue?
We're working on the data there to know that. So I don't like to answer a question with confidence unless I confidently have the data to support it. What I will say from our case studies, and we actually have a couple of case studies we're going to be publishing here soon, we are getting great response with either placement.
Okay. I've been like really overanalyzing this placement in the mouth, especially with how sticky it is. So I like literally put it in. I like tiptoe putting it in because I'm like, just go to the side of my mouth. Don't touch the roof of the mouth. Okay. This is awesome. And I really appreciate what you said about, you know, only providing verified data on things. So I really appreciate that. Actually, to that point, because you mentioned injections being around 89% and really depending on the independent person. Do you have a guess of the percent absorption rate of these strips?
We're really hoping it's anywhere from about, and again, it depends on the peptide. So the bigger the peptide, like our GLPs that we're working on, we really had to soup them up with delivery technology, like the most of any of our formulas. And, you know, I would be thrilled at 70% for that one. But I think some of our other peptide formats might actually work faster than injection. So anywhere from 70 to maybe 95%, I think could be realistic in terms of what we see for some of the peptides that we're studying.
Okay, awesome. This is a question that I have. I just have this in general about medications. I have it about stem cells. I have it now about peptides, especially thinking about it with what you're saying with the absorption, it going into the bloodstream, but you know, we can't even really measure that well. Is the effect, especially given that there's, you know, like I said, like you said, hundreds of peptides out there, like how does the peptide know where to go? Is it like it gets into your bloodstream and then it affects everything all over your body? But then some of these are for very specific purposes. Does it go everywhere in your body? I think about this all the time.
Yeah. So let's take BPC for a second, because this is a peptide a lot of people know about. It stands for body protection compound 157.
I didn't know what it stood for. Okay.
Yeah. And it's a 15 amino acid peptide. We discovered it in gastric juices. So it's somewhat gastric stable. This one is one you'll see in capsule, tablet form, you know, you can swallow it. And I will say, I do think there's maybe some GI benefit to that. Systemic, I don't know if people get systemic effect. To me, I'm like, oh, that's a clue you probably have leaky gut because you're getting more to cross into your bloodstream. That's a whole side conversation. But
that is a side conversation. Same with the brain, I feel. Like things getting into the brain, it's like, oh, well, should it be getting into your brain?
Exactly. Leaky mitochondria, all kinds of stuff to think about. But with BPC-157-1, we know that areas that are injured in the body, tissues that have injury, do send out signals. Basically, kind of like an SOS, help me. BPC responds to that signal. What's super interesting about BPC that I find that to me is one of the most fascinating things about the peptide is some people will take our strip. Like we were just at a conference 10 days ago and I had people coming up and they're like, I took one dose of BPC and my back felt better. My shoulder was better. I could move my wrist without pain for the first time in 6 months. I mean, some people have this like almost immediate response to an injury site that they're very aware of, right? Other people will take BPC and they'll be like, Sarah, I don't notice anything. Now I've seen this injection, I've seen it oral, there's, you know, a capsule, I mean, with the strips, all of it that, you know, there's this really interesting variance in response. And at first I was like, what is going on with that? And then I, you know, what I would say is just keep going. I want you to keep taking it. And what would happen is over time, someone who is, let's say, taking it for their back, like, oh my gosh, I have back pain. 2 months in, they're like, oh, now my back is better. And it was almost this cliff that they had to get to. And I'm like, oh, I sat down and I finally realized I'm like, the body was prioritizing other areas. BPC is amazing for your brain. We've studied it for TBIs, post-stroke. It is incredible for your gut lining. If you have leaky gut, it is one of the coolest new tools you should be using for gut health. Probiotics, prebiotics, all these things are awesome. They're single, you know, amino acids that have been used for a long time, like glutamine for the gut. BPC is like souped up peptide for gut healing. A lot of us have gut issues, right? The other thing that BPC does is it works on the endothelial lining of your blood vessels. When I list all this stuff, these aren't necessarily things that you can feel that are injured, inflamed, or wrong with your body. BPC is also really liver and kidney protective. There's a lot of us that have issues with those organs. They don't have any feelings. So we're not like, gosh, my liver is really inflamed today. It hurts. You know, you can't, it's not the same process. So they work in a very wise way in the body, is what I would say. And it's wise beyond, I think, what we're going to be able to understand for a long time, where they prioritize the most severe issues first.
sounds really similar to stem cells, stem cell release, and being recruited to various injured tissues. And like, where do they go and what do they do?
Yeah. And BPC would be now. CJC is one of our products, which is secretagogue. That, when you ask, like, is it systemic? Is it specific? That is an example of a peptide that is a very specific action in the body. And it is going to impact the pituitary's release of growth hormone. And what that does, and then IGF-1 levels in the liver, and growth hormone helps kids grow. Growth hormone helps adults repair and heal. We release melatonin to go to sleep. Then we release growth hormone. That's what gets us into a really nice, deep, restorative sleep. So as you get older, a lot of people start to lose that ability to get that really great, deep, restorative sleep. They're waking up more. They're more restless. Our growth hormone levels decrease by 15% every decade once we hit age 30. Okay, so it's like I wake up in the morning, I don't feel as rested, I'm more creaky. Your growth hormone levels aren't doing the same repair, healing, restoration, good deep sleep as when you were 20. So this is a very specific action that then has all of these amazing downstream effects, including metabolic health. So CJC as a secretagogue helps with muscle mass. It helps with beta oxidation. So you're going to see better cholesterol levels. You're going to have fat loss because you're burning fat as an energy source more efficiently. It protects cartilage from further damage. It makes hormone receptors more sensitive. So people who are on HRT who pair that with a secretagogue are going to feel fantastic because their hormones are going to work better. So there's all kinds of cool benefits, but it stems from a very specific action in the body that that peptide is eliciting.
So I have a few questions specifically about this one, about the CJC 1295. Do you know, what does CJC stand for? Do you know?
I don't even know if it has, I don't know that that one actually has it's an acronym. I'm going to just self-profess. I'm not sure that it does stand for anything.
Okay. So it's not like the BPC one where it actually was something.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all like a little different and I could be wrong on that, but I've never read what CJC stands for.
Okay. Perfect. So questions about this one. So first of all, where should I start? So it sounds like it's really great for, you know, supporting growth hormone for all these benefits. What about the concept that IGF-1 levels tend to be negatively linked to longevity? Like, is there the potential of having too much growth hormone turned on? And with this one, would the timing of turning it on matter? Because I know, for example, that like while fasting, one of the benefits of fasting is like lowering IGF-1 levels, or like a calorie restricted diet lowering those growth hormone levels. So would this be something where you don't want to be having it like all the time? Marissa had a very similar question. She said, how much is too much? And I'm assuming she's referring to CJC 1295 because she says, for example, is there a threshold where cells start multiplying or growing when they should not be? So basically this idea of, I get nervous about, because I see all these potentials of the growth hormone. Also, I'm like, I don't know that I know when I need to be turning it on, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So we always want to look back to the body, right? Like, what is the body doing? The body naturally pulses growth hormone at night. So we want to mimic that. We have another pulse in the morning, maybe sometime midday as adults. Kids are making growth hormone all the time, but as adults, that's what we're doing. So we recommend people take our CJC strip 30 minutes before bed because it's mimicking your natural release. Now, this is not exogenous growth hormone. That's a really important distinction. This is just helping your pituitary gland release growth hormone. It's already produced. Your growth hormone is produced from your pituitary gland until you're about 120 years old. I mean, the gland is like able to do it really well. Your release of that is really compromised as you get older each decade. Now, the other interesting thing is because it's a circadian hormone, blue light, circadian disruption, all these things that excessive stress, eating at, you know, weird times are going to impact growth hormone release outside of anything to do with peptides. So what I would say is modern life actually would say it's even more important to optimize those. Now, IGF-1 levels, We have a scientific advisory board that we're building. I can't publicly announce them just yet, but they're some of the best medical doctors in the space who've been using peptides clinically for over a decade in the US. They believe secretagogues are some of the most powerful longevity tools that can be utilized. And again, it comes into, it's not a black or white. There's a lot of nuance with peptides. And if you use them well and pulse them, so 5 days on, 2 days off is what we recommend, weekdays on, weekends off, and you do a cycle of 3 months.
For all or for this one?
I would say it depends. We're talking about CJC. So that's the cycle for CJC. You know, GLPs are a little bit different how people are using them, but I'm a big proponent of cycling everything. And I mean that like your food, your time, your exercise, your supplements, your peptides, because we want to keep receptor sensitivity in the body when we're thinking about peptides. But some of our scientific advisory boards that use peptides in people 60 plus, they're going to use a secretagogue and they're not going to cycle them off because their growth hormone levels are half what they were when they were 20.
Hi, friends. I have very exciting news. So I know you guys already know and love Element and understand the importance of electrolytes for hydration, energy, focus, supporting your fasting, your workouts, all the things. Guess what? Element has a product that goes beyond electrolytes. What is it? Well, so I am very pro the benefits of caffeine. I love the cognitive benefits, the longevity benefits, and that said, I am a slow caffeine metabolizer, so I don't actually take in lots of caffeine. I've also learned that the form, dose, and balance of caffeine makes a huge difference in how you actually feel. That's why I am so excited that Element has launched a brand new lemonade iced tea. It's refreshing, delicious, lightly caffeinated, perfect for summer. And what I really love is the science behind it. So instead of relying on massive amounts of isolated synthetic caffeine like so many energy drinks out there do, Element Lemonade Iced Tea uses a full black tea extract. So alongside the caffeine, you naturally get compounds like L-theanine and polyphenols. The L-theanine actually helps smooth out the stimulant effect for a calmer, steadier energy experience with less spikes and crashes, while the polyphenols provide antioxidant support as well. And you guys know I am all about the antioxidants. And the incredible team at Element, including my personal hero, Rob Wolf, conducted a meticulous amount of research to find the perfect amount of caffeine, which is the sweet spot for sustained focus and energy without feeling overstimulated or wrecking your sleep later. That is exactly 50 milligrams of caffeine. On top of that, they knew that caffeine can increase your need for critical minerals like sodium, potassium, and magnesium. So that's why Element Lemonade Iced Tea pairs the perfect amount of caffeine with a meaningful dose of electrolytes to support optimal hydration and performance. And of course, Element Lemonade Iced Tea is completely free of sugar, artificial colors, and all the other stuff that you do not want that are so commonly found in caffeinated drinks today. It's built on the same science-backed electrolyte formula that Element is known for, with sodium, potassium, and magnesium in ratios designed to support hydration and energy production. The result? You get your perfect pack of portable, easy-to-make lemonade iced tea that provides steady, clean energy that tastes delicious and actually feels good. As you guys know, Element is trusted by neuroscientists, functional medicine practitioners, professional athletes, including the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and they're even used by Navy SEALs and the Marines. So are you ready to up your drink level with the ultimate lemonade iced tea? You can get it. And when you get it, get a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. That's right, a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. Find your favorite flavor or share it with a friend. And by the way, Element has an amazing no questions asked refund policy, so you can try it completely risk-free. If for any reason you're not satisfied, they will give you your money back. Again, go to drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon for a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase, including their new lemonade iced tea. Okay, so the PT-141, I know people are very excited about, no pun intended, So this one, when people think of it, they think of it for boosting libido in particular. And I know when actually, so when I first, when Jay first told me about you, he had, did I meet, I think I recorded with him right after the biohacking. Yes, I recorded with him right after the biohacking conference, the most recent one in Austin. And he said that he had received samples of the PT-141 from you, like at the conference, and that he was handing them out and the people were just raving about it for its effect on, like people could really feel it for boosting their libido and such. So questions, what are the primary benefits? Damon, he said, who benefits more from PT-141, men or women? And how often can you use it? And then I have another question, which you might answer when you answer this. So I will hold that question. But just in general, the benefits, men versus women, how often you can use it.
Yeah, I love this question. Okay, so our formula PT-141 Plus, it actually has a little bit of oxytocin and something called aminophenylpyrrolate. It's another peptide a lot of people have never heard of that sort of works like an ED med. So erectile dysfunction in males, you know, is typically addressed with prescription medications like Viagra, right? We'll just use the brand names as we're talking. That works for, you know, a certain percentage of men. I believe it's about like 62% of men because your nitric oxide pathway actually has to work. There's also off-label use for women because blood flow is a really big part of pleasure, arousal, you know, ability to orgasm. So our formula, the aminophenylpyrrolate is similar, the most similar to like a traditional ED med. Oxytocin is a peptide that's like the connection peptide. So we put it in there because I think in modern world, you know, it's where we feel so like disconnected, and I actually use the word disassociated sometimes to connect with your partner is so powerful, not just on a physical level, but emotional as well. And then PT-141 works in the central nervous system. It's actually working on specific receptors in the brain all the way down to the body to improve arousal, desire, and orgasm. It was originally used in women who had low sexual desire. And it, you know, it, what I will say about this formula, because I'm a big proponent of like, I'm going to tell it as it is, it doesn't work for 100% of people. Similar to like how any medication or supplement isn't going to work for 100% of people. I think most people get some kind of benefit or they'll notice something. But here's the really interesting thing about PT-141 specifically, no matter the format, if it's a strip, injection, there's even intranasal, everybody has a little bit of a different type response in terms of timing of effect. And what I mean by that is we tell people like take a strip 30 to 45 minutes before desired connection time. Most people are going to get that peak benefit around that time frame, but there's a percentage of the population that are delayed responders that have maximum benefit 4 to 6 hours after they take a dose. And most of those people, when we're thinking about a date night and connection, they're asleep at that point, right? And they're like, oh, it didn't do anything for me. Now, there are people I think it doesn't work as well. So you have to give it a try is really the way that I say it. We have people who absolutely love our PT-141 Plus formula. And then we have people who are kind of playing around with ideal timeline of dosing to really see where their peak effect is.
And also men can take a little bit of a higher dose than women. So sometimes like a bigger male, you know, if you're like 230 pounds, I'll say take 2 strips. Now, the other piece of this that you asked, or this person who asked the question, it was really smart. How often can you use it? This is another peptide that's really interesting as a formula that you have to have a 24-hour period of a washout between use. So I had a guy reach out and he's like, Sarah, my wife and I had the best sex we've had in like 10 years. It was a magical night. And then he's like, and then we used it again the next night and it didn't do anything. And I was like, yeah, you have to let those receptors fully kind of wash out to get that sensitivity back. So the max you really want to use the formula is 3 days a week. And I would, you know, some of that is you just have to play around. Maybe it's like 2 days a week to really get the maximum effect. So this one is very specific to your metabolism, your body, and in terms of timeline, and then a little bit on dosing too. And you do have to take breaks between use.
So would a good protocol or approach be like when you first get it, take it maybe during the day and see if you naturally get a boost at some point to figure out when it's hitting you? Like, would you notice, like, will you notice, like, if you took it and then just go about your day, will you have like a moment where you're like, oh, let me find a man?
Some people it's like really fast. I was at a conference and I had a doctor take a strip. We were all just sitting there meeting and she's like, I want to see how this works. And she was like, whoa. And for her, it was a circulation, like blood flow, massive change. She had within like 2 to 3 minutes for her. Now, another thing about peptides, they're better to use in a fasted state because they're signaling molecules.
I was going to ask that.
So that's another thing that if people are like, well, I'm not really sure if I'm noticing anything with the PT-141, what I really encourage them to do is to take it away from food for a bit further. So an hour is great, but if you're really struggling to notice anything with a peptide, do longer during a fasting period, just in general, no matter what kind of peptide you're using. Typically, that's really helpful.
Okay. Okay. And is that the reason that it comes in a 10 count rather than 20 count like the others? Because you don't take it as much?
Yeah. And one of the things, we had a really great suggestion. We're always open to suggestions. So everybody listening, you know, like, give us all your feedback because we want to learn. We are also going to start selling them in a 2-pack, which we're really excited about, so that you can try them, you know, it's like a date night 2-pack, you know, kind of deal, which we're really excited about.
This is so funny. My suggestion just from this would be, how to use, are there instructions inside the box? Like, all this information you're giving about when to take it is so helpful and I don't see it on the box.
Yeah, we have a bunch of educational materials we just created that are available, including like a chart with dosing and protocols and kind of how to cycle 5 days on, 2 days off. You know, an ideal cycle is 8 weeks or 12 weeks and, you know, things like PT-141, 3 days a week max, we have all of that. And then we even have stacking charts to really show how you can stack the different peptides because they can be synergistic in effect, which again is a really neat thing depending on the benefits, health outcomes that you're looking for.
Okay, that's incredible. And will that be at your website, getinstamed.com?
It is, yes. Yep, we're building all of those educational materials.
Well, okay, perfect. And then there's one more. I feel like listeners are really going to want to be getting this PT-141. Plus, I didn't realize that there were the other ingredients in it. That's incredible. So the GHKCU, so people, when they think about this one, I think they think skin health, yeah, glowing skin, things like that. Is that the primary use case for this one, or what else is it for?
Yeah, it's so many use cases that are even, I would say, more medical in nature as we go. You know, the people who are like really bendy, they have connective tissue EDS type spectrum of disease. This is, I think, a peptide that we're going to see utilized to stabilize connective tissue in these individuals. So this peptide is sort of like a stem cell. We're studying it for anti-cancer properties. It regulates our epigenome. So it turns on and off the light switches above our genome, which is very, very powerful. It helps with collagen and elastin, which is why we love it for our skin health. And it really does work. I mean, within 10 to 12 weeks, and most people notice it sooner, they're like, wow, my skin looks better, especially perimenopause, our estradiol levels go down. We need a little extra support to get that good skin texture, tone, thickness. This is a really great demographic to use. And for men, right? As we get older, just in general, it also helps with hair follicle size. So your existing hair follicles are healthier, stronger, and new hair follicle development.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I know this is the one peptide that, especially when I was talking with Jay, he was saying this is the one peptide that people do use topically often because it directly affects the skin. So I was curious if you would get the effects systemically from taking it orally. So Mary wanted to know about postmenopause peptides. So is that what you said, perimenopause, would this be good postmenopause as well?
Oh yes. Perimenopause, postmenopause, that whole scenario. Yes. And anyone who's just looking to have better appearing skin, hair. I mean, we've had people within weeks, we've had men say their beard repigments. So they'll have gray hair grow back with the color, which is so incredible. You know, again, I think we'll see some more medical use cases like EDS to just stabilize connective tissue for joints, for, you know, their veins and their arteries and some other really kind of important pieces that can be life-changing for people.
Amazing. And then I said that was the last one, but it's because I didn't have right in front of me the one I've actually currently been taking every day because I'm so excited about it, which is thymosin alpha 1. So this one, I'm just so fascinated by this. So this actually affects our thymus and it can help immune conditions. Is that what's happening there?
Yeah, this was actually discovered in our thymus and a gland. And as adults, you know, that kind of like shrivels up and goes away. And another thing that I'll call out that's really interesting is Stanford published their omics data last fall. And they basically showed that aging isn't linear. We have a massive metabolic aging event at about age 44. Then we have a big aging event of our immune system at 61. And if you think about people like when they get cancer, when disease states start to really progress, you look into their 60s and 70s, and immune dysregulation is such a key piece of basically almost every disease process. Thymosin alpha 1 is an immune optimizer. It's almost like an immune adaptogen, sort of like the herbals we think about, like ashwagandha, that help with, you know, if you're too low or too high, it brings you to this beautiful place of balance for yourself, where your body needs to be. That's what thymosin alpha does for your immune system. So it is an antimicrobial. It has antifungal properties, antiviral properties. You can use it acutely for immune support. You can use it for chronic issues, like chronic viral issues. So these are people with, you know, mold and Epstein-Barr and Lyme and all these things that, you know, they're trying and all these treatments and their immune systems are dysregulated. We also know it works really well for autoimmunity because it helps with Treg cells. Treg cells are going to, they're T cells that are going to really provide that beautiful balance of the teeter-totter of our immune system. This peptide has also been studied as a cancer adjuvant in breast, lung, kidney, I always forget, melanoma, and liver cancers.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm really excited by this one. I've had this chronic sinus infection that just feels like it's just something in my sinuses that won't go away. And like, if I get stressed is when it kind of comes out, like peeks its head out. So I'm excited to like be on this consistently and see if maybe hopefully it will help that. When did you say the first aging thing happens? At what age?
Yeah, about age 44, we have a metabolic aging event. And this is where GLPs become really helpful because it gives us our insulin sensitivity back. And interestingly enough, a lot of people notice this by like, oh my gosh, I can't tolerate alcohol very well. All of a sudden it really impacts them because part of that metabolic aging is actually our alcohol metabolism in our mid-40s starts to go down.
Wow. Okay. Oh my goodness. Well, I love this. So important question for you personally. What are your favorites? And do you stack? Do you change it up? Yeah. And do you have a dream peptide that you would make?
Yeah. What do I love? I love to switch it up. So currently I'm obsessed with CJC because I'm perimenopausal. I love hormones. I take a bioidentical progesterone to in my second half of my cycle because my sleep really gets impacted. Our CJC strips are incredible for sleep. And I can attest to that myself. I have an Oura ring. I can watch my REM and deep sleep improve. I've reported that from a lot of people. And then I'm an athlete. I work out, I lift weights, I play soccer every week. I just feel
insanely amazing using that peptide. And I've been being more consistent with GHKCU. Actually, my sister was just recently diagnosed with a pretty severe form of connective tissue disorder that does impact her vascular system. I think I have probably like some kind of minor, I'm a little bendy. I have a minor format of that. So I don't know, you know, how much it will impact my skin. But I think for me, I'm more focused on even like my vascular system as I get older to make sure that the integrity there is good, you know, coming from my family of cardiologists. So those are some of my favorites. I also love microdosing GLPs. So once we have that dialed in, I'm very excited for that to go to market.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that because I think I was listening to some podcasts about the problems with the current dosings with the GLPs because it's kind of like a one size fits all and maybe like these lower amounts would be better for some people. So that's interesting. Yeah, I love that. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This has been absolutely incredible. I know listeners are dying to get their hands on some of these as soon as possible. So thank you, Sarah. We have a discount code for listeners. So if you go to getinstamed.com, you can use the coupon code Melanie15, and that will give you 15% off your entire order. So getinstamed.com, use the code Melanie15 for 15% off your entire order. Thank you so much, Sarah, for that. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on with your work and all of this? I'm just so, so grateful for what you're doing.
Yeah, I would just say thanks for having me on. I think we're all learning about peptides. So the biggest thing I would encourage you to do is whether you're new or you've been working with peptides for a while, keep leaning in and keep paying attention to the space because over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see just incredible things happen in this space that are going to benefit humans and I think animals and all kinds of fun things down the road.
Well, thank you so, so much. And I've never done this before, but I am so obsessed with this episode and this content. I might actually air this episode on both shows. I want everybody to hear this. This has been just so incredibly helpful. And the last question that I ask every single guest on this show, and it's just because I realize every day the importance of mindset. So what is something that you're grateful for?
Oh, I love that. That's an easy one for me. I am so grateful for my family. I'm actually with my family right now. Just realize how precious life is and it goes fast. So taking all the little moments is one of my big things that as a mindset that I do related to my family.
I love that so, so much. Well, thank you, Sarah. This has been so incredible. So again, listeners, you can go to getinstamed.com, use the coupon code Melanie15 for 15% off site-wide. And yeah, thank you. I would love to have you back in the future, especially with how rapidly evolving all the science is. I'm sure, you know, a year from now, it'll just be like a whole entire new world that you're in.
Yes, I would love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Enjoy your time with your family and we will talk soon. Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information and resources, you can check out my book, What When Wine, as well as my supplement line, Avalon X. Please visit melanieavalon.com to learn more about today's guest. And always feel free to contact me at contact@melanieavalon.com. And always remember, you got this.